I want to tell you a quick story, a little word picture. Let's say that you have a grandson. Okay, now, if you're 16 years old and you're in him, that might be tough. Okay, but just bear with me. Let's say you have a grandson, and let's say you went out and built him a wood activity center, a playground in the backyard, and without him seeing it, and you put in a lot of money, you put in countless hours to get this thing built, and finally when it's all done, you walk him out to the backyard with a blindfold on, and you pull off the blindfold. What's the first reaction? Excitement, thanksgiving, and Grandpa begins to get the biggest hug he's ever had, and thank you, Grandpa, thank you, this is so wonderful. And wouldn't it make you feel good inside if you were the grandpa, right? Because, man, giving is so much easier, and what a blessing that would be. But you would probably run out and do it all over again because you can get that big hug and that thanksgiving again. But what happens to your grandson's thankfulness after a couple months? And then think about what it is a couple years from then. He stops playing on it for the most part, right? And it makes you feel like all of that effort you put into it was such a short thanks because he was grateful for a little while and it kind of dissipated. And when we're thankful for the benefits of God, the forgiveness of sins, the promise of heaven in our lives, it's got to touch the very heart of God, doesn't it? To help us, for him to realize we're thankful. But here's the rub, and let's be honest. Trying to keep up with being thankful to him for the promises over time seems to dissipate in our lives. Like the leaky bucket. I always like that because that really does, no matter what kind of inspiration you have, no matter what, we always seem to be a leaky bucket. And I noticed and perceive, you know, when you have a perceived God event in your life, and maybe it's an answer to prayer or events have changed in our favor because you prayed about it. And even when you think you might have even have a miracle in your life, that lasts about a couple weeks. Have you ever noticed that? I hate to say that, but and I think they've even measured it. It's only a couple weeks, and all of a sudden it doesn't seem to have as much impact on us, and we've forgotten already to give thanks. It just doesn't last. And then the problem with that in us is then conviction or guilt, depends on what kind of personality you have, okay? But conviction or guilt sets in because we feel crummy about ourselves, because here God went through all this and we forget it and we don't give thanksgiving. And it's like our commitment to God somehow dissipates. But maybe, just maybe, God understands who we are. Maybe it's a condition of the heart rather than a response, a thankful heart in us and not necessarily founded on events. I think that's what gets us in trouble is when we find when it's founded on events. But founded on our Savior, His mercy, His love, His salvation, what God has promised. A thankful condition of the heart can change the whole way you view life. Maybe it's why the psalmist says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever." Or why Paul says, "It's the will of God." In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." And for our scripture this morning, I have combined a few different verses together so we can read them and rethink the issue of thanksgiving. I'm going to read the white and you read the yellow. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." Amen. Thank you. Thanks. for this is the will of God, Christ Jesus, for you. Okay. I'll read mine real quick. No. Okay. I think that verse is a huge verse. Let's just do it again. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which is not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Give thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Yeah, I want to put that in twice because that's such an important verse for us to think about. God's will, God's desire, desirous will for us, is that we give thanks in everything. So let's explore that. First of all, it's so hard to give thanks for people and remember them. Philippians 1:3 says, Paul says this, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. He thanks God for them in every remembrance. He doesn't go through a litany of people every day, all day long, praying. When God brings it to his mind or it comes into his mind, he prays for them. So for starters, maybe we are putting ourselves in too much of a hard spot, especially when somebody comes up, and you may relate to this, but somebody comes up and says, I've got this problem. Will you pray for me? What's the first thing that happens in your mind? Mine's panic. Okay, and that's because I know by the time I get done with the second service, especially if it's the first service, I probably won't remember. Because it was said too long ago and there's too many things going through my mind. I didn't write it down. I tell people, well, go write that down and put it on my desk or whatever so I could pray. But then if I prayed every day or two times or three times a day for all the requests I get, that's all I do. Which isn't bad, except there'd be no sermon and no church, right? And so I think can you relate to me on that? And then all of a sudden, here's the real hard is when somebody comes up and goes, thank you for praying, because it really did change. And I think, I only prayed once. And I think, well, wait a minute. And so Paul says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Whereas remembrance is more realistic, and we can give thanks for the people we know, pray for them, and give thanks for everyone, because we can do that when it comes to our mind. And frankly, I think it's impossible any other way. Just as Paul prayed for all those who he brought to Christ, as they come into remembrance. But I want to share how we can have a thankful heart without legalism, without making the rules, because you know what happens, don't you? I'm going to have a thankful heart. I'm going to pray every day, and I'm going to thank God every day. What happens? Well, like the leaky bucket, the commitment goes to the floor. So let's start with the person who is thankless, who does not thank God, okay? In Romans 1:21 and 22. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify or worship him as God, nor were what? Thankful, instead became futile in their thoughts. Their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. So no thankfulness will result in your life and my life. It has its own reward of futility, of foolishness, of a lack of wisdom, and finally, sin, idol worship. We'll put our trust in other things. And we've seen that, haven't we? In the 18th century classic, A Serious Call to a Devout and Holy Life, William Law made this following statement. And he asked this question, would you know who is the greatest saint in the world? And he said this, "It is not he who prays most or fasts most. It is not he who gives the most money or is the most well known for self-control, love, or justice, but it is he who is always thankful to God, who wills everything that God wills, who receives everything as an instant of God's goodness, and has a heart always ready to praise God for it." You know, when I read that, William Law is right. He has definitely something there, seeing the hand of God in the lives, our lives, responding to his will with thanksgiving instead of resistance is a key that unlocks the qualities that Paul talks about. So here's my afterthoughts of studying this all week, looking at it and thinking about thanksgiving. God seems to be saying, give thanks in, not for, in your circumstances. Not necessarily for the circumstances, but in circumstances, and that's the secret to victory, I think, in having a grateful heart. We might or will have a hard time being thankful for a loss of job, right? But we can be thankful to God in spite of those circumstances. We can't necessarily be thankful for illness. Hey, did you love your cold? Yeah. Did you thank God for your cold? Yeah, very. Okay. Yeah. In illness, whatever it may be, we can be thankful in those circumstances, but it's tough to be thankful for those circumstances unless maybe those circumstances push you to a new place and you're thankful for that. We have a hard time being thankful for a broken marriage, don't we? So many people these days are in a broken marriage, and we can be thankful in those hard circumstances, but we are sure have a hard time being thankful for. And the reason this can feel suspect to us is because we associate, and now listen to me on this, we associate thankfulness with pleasurable events, don't we? When a good event happens, we're thankful. When a bad event happens, we are not. And God's trying to help us bypass that thinking. He wants us in a state of thanksgiving. We're told in the scripture, in everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So what is our quest according to this? Is to remember and dwell on God's greatness, his goodness, his benefits, and his love, and his salvation. And we, as we go through these circumstances, the psalmist says, it is good to give thanks to the Lord. Psalms 104, give thanks to him, bless his name. Obviously, our circumstances are not the measurement of thanksgiving. I want to read this from Psalms 103. It was really the first psalm. I remember I went to Christian school when I was 8 years old. My parents put me in there, and this was the very first psalm I memorized. And it says this, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. And then what does it say? And forget not all his benefits. Don't forget his benefits. And then he says, And then he tells the benefits. Who forgives all our iniquities? Isn't that great? Our sin is forgiven. Man, that's something to be thankful for all the time. Who heals all our diseases? We get over the colds. We get over a lot of these things because God has built it into us to heal. Who redeems our life from destruction? Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies? Who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles? We give thanks for his benefits, not the good times. You know, it's just like the story of the 10 lepers who come to Jesus and ask him to heal them, and he heals them as they walk away, and 9 of them stay gone, and 1 comes back and thanks him. And that's kind of a picture of us, isn't it? It's so easy to forget. I remember I was raised in Seattle, and Seattle is full of Norwegians, Swedes, Germans, especially in the fishing industry. And many of the people there were descendants back from the original Norwegian pioneers, and they used to make fun of themselves a lot because the Norwegians would say that they were not known for expressing their feelings, and believe me, that's a truth. And so one guy told me one time, he said, I knew a Norwegian farmer, however, who loved his wife and appreciated her so much that one day he almost told her. Why do we laugh at that? Norwegian or not, that's the way we are sometimes. It's so obvious that we hold back Thanksgiving like the farmer Norske. We simply don't let it out. So what I want to do for a second is have you participate. What I'm going to ask you to do is turn to the person next to you or turn around or whatever that will take. And I want you to give the top two or three things that you feel so thankful for in your life, okay? Does everybody get it now? If you didn't get those instructions, they're written up there. It's only about 8 or 10 words, so, okay. Turn, go. So what are you thankful for?
It's what I'm thankful for?
What makes you thankful?
What makes, follow you, my own. What makes you thankful?
Well, I think what makes me thankful is... Okay, got a little scared there. I had my mic on when I was talking to my wife, and I thought, okay, everybody's going to copy us. You know, we can laugh and we can sing and cry. These benefits are part of God's wonderful love for us. You know, I think my first one is just from a God point of view is I'm so thankful that my sins are forgiven. You know, when I look back at my history and all that kind of thing, it's a daily thing for me to feel thankful for that. And then apart from God, I'm thankful for my wife because she always tells me the truth. And I appreciate that. And I appreciate you, honey, when you do that. Did you find some interesting things that the other person said? Yeah. You know, one of the greatest benefits is being fully alive and giving thanks to God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Yet what benefits go unnoticed because they're too obvious? And as I thought about that, I thought, you know what? Here's the real problem. How about God himself? He's the most taken, granted for entity in the entire universe. We totally take him for granted. I mean, we could say, hey, hello, you know, I can't wait to get to heaven, and, you know, God's done us that, but do we really thank him for his benefits, all the different things he's done? And so the more we take him for granted, now listen to this, the more we take him for granted, the more we become unthankful, right? Who forgives all of our iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. You know, I was thinking about who satisfies your mouth with good things. Isn't it interesting that we love good food in America, right? I mean, I don't think there's anybody go, oh no, I don't like good food. And he says, who satisfies your mouth with good things. That may be spoken, that may be tasted. Just little things like that we forget. You know, we go past a fast food place, we think, no, let's go to a good place and have food, right? And so we have a good meal, and we may pray and say, Lord, thank you for this meal, and that kind of thing. We're going, isn't this good? But we never think, let me put it this way, and we always think, hey, God, this is great. You know, because of all the combined spices and that kind of thing that God created to make that happen. And so I remember one time on occasion, someone asked the father or the husband to pray for the meal. And he says, well, I worked a job to have these things. And so I'm the one that bought the food and I'm the one that bought the clothes. So why in the world should I be thanking God? Ever heard that before? Yeah, we all have, huh? My inner response was, so. So you bought them. You know, there's absolutely nothing we can do or be that has not come from him. I want to start from the very basic. Every breath you take depends on an oxygen mix for you to stay alive and the air pressure to make your lungs go back and forth without even thinking about it. Now, think about that. Let's say you live 80 years, those lungs are going and going and going and going. And you don't even think about it. Or maybe everything that a source is, like, for instance, the money in your wallet. Take the money in your wallet, okay? It's from printed on paper, where he's created the chemicals for ink and the trees for paper. The car you drive is fitted together from metal that he supplied. If we didn't have that supply, oh yeah, we'd make the metal bend and work for us. But who gave it to us? God already had there before cars everywhere even thought of. Or the gold jewelry you wear around your necks or wrists or fingers. God had already deposited. In fact, I enjoy about the New Testament is one of the things about the Garden of Eden is there's already gold in it. God had already issued out gold because he liked what he made. You know, the scripture says over and over that God is a source of all good things. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren, James says. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from what? Above. Who comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation in shadow of a turning. So, can we remember the fact that everything we have, everything that is around us, all that is supplied by God? We can create and maneuver things that he's given us, even the mind to create, in the imagination to do that. And so a lot of times we look at it and we think, well, we did it. Oh, man. And so what does that do for us? Well, it provides a good dose of ungratefulness, unthankfulness. And these attitudes prevent us from focusing on God's graciousness. You know, as I've gotten older, I have a tendency to realize more and more what I've taken for granted for years. Does that happen to you? Like, you know, I can remember Debbie and I'd be driving along with the kids and we'd go, oh, look at the sunset. It's just beautiful. And one of my boys would go, oh, isn't the sunset nice? Right? Not that you would know who that is. Okay. Yeah. And so now he's the one saying, oh, man, look at that. Isn't that sunset beautiful? Why? Because God's created these things for us to have thanksgiving. And we look at them and we're thankful for them. We become more thankful because we've gone through all the hassle of thinking stuff and events are going to do it. And it comes down to the bare bones. So let me ask you a question. How about you? Are you growing in thankfulness? Maybe a sunset, fresh air, majestic mountain range. Don't you love it when The air totally clears up and you see the Rocky Mountains. Gosh, it's beautiful. The love of someone who loves you and cares about you. Good food, the life I'm able to live and you're able to live exceeds all the rest of the world. And then the chance to be able to serve Christ and minister. What a huge blessing. I am so thankful for all you guys. How about you? What does it mean in your life to be thankful? The worship team will come back. I want to kind of do a summary of what we've talked about, just a short summary. We're going to share the Lord's Supper together. There's two tables over here, two tables over there. Most of you know what to do. If you see someone that's a guest, help them out. But everyone's welcome to join us. We're going to celebrate Thanksgiving because of what Christ did for us. Amen. You know, so in summary, it doesn't mean you need to give thanks for everything. It means you give thanks in everything. You don't need to give thanks for a bad day. It's a bad day. You give thanks in a bad day, or in a bad relationship, or being passed over at work, or financial hardship. Whatever it is, you give thanks in and during the difficulties. I want to put it this way, you rehearse the benefits, right? You rehearse it. I remember the original days when Debbie and I got married, and I was only a Christian 9 months when we started dating. And she didn't know whether I'd make it or not, to be honest with you. And I was all charged up for God and that kind of thing. But you know what's interesting about that is as I began to grow in Christ, I began to really see that thankfulness. Whatever it is, we give thanks in and during the difficulties. And so I began to rehearse the benefits. I memorized Ephesians 1 and 2, 1 through 10, and I would say it every day to myself. As I got up, I'd sit on the edge of my bed and quote it all the way through to remember who I am in Christ and rehearse those benefits, and it gave me a thankful heart. And it gave me a new life because I knew how God really felt about me, not how I think he might feel about me, but how he really felt about me. So first, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And second, and forget not all of his benefits. So as we enter into the celebration of the Lord's Supper, let's remember this incredible blessing, the cross. Let's remember that Christ came because he and the Father planned for him to come, to hang on a cross, for God to put all the sin on his shoulders, yours and mine, every bit of it, no exception, and die with that, the perfect lamb, so that we might be forgiven for eternity, and we will become his trophies of grace. Let's not forget that as we go into the Lord's Supper, and we're going to come back and celebrate. Emmanuel, God with us. You know, as I was reading those words, I was thinking about Jesus being in the garden, and he's thinking about his death and what it would take, and he says, Lord, is there any way that this cup can pass from me? Because how would you want to do what he did? He said, but not my will, but your will be done. So in the upper room, as they were practicing the Passover, he took the bread, and right at the beginning they take the bread and they break it one piece in the middle, but he broke it all and passed it out to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Let's remember him together. Then after supper he took the third cup of the Passover, called the cup of redemption. I want you to stand. He said, this cup represents the new covenant in my blood. It often as you drink it. And I want to talk about redemption. Redemption is buying us back from sin and forgiving our sins. And our sins are forgiven because of what he did on the cross. Let's hold our cups up and celebrate. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for this. May you be glorified today.